Krishna, Brahma can continue. At the time of Hari Keshwami's leaving ISKCON and the turmoil it caused, some things happened which begin this story. It started in maybe 95, 96, 97. When I was a member of the Scandinavian Regional Council, which then worked as a direct directly under the GBC, Hari Keshwami, and consisted of the temple presidents of Scandinavia. At that time, others that council back from then, like Lochan, can confirm that Tilakanath Prabhu, the temple president and developer of ISKCON Norway, temple president in Oslo, the probably most qualified of us managers, started complaining and reporting to us in one meeting after another that one devotee, Sankirtan leader, had started political campaigning to take over the power of ISKCON Norway. Well, we've heard such stories before, but he brought it up meeting after meeting until we realized that he saw it as a serious problem. It was a significant political campaign, it seemed. By someone who seem to have learned how to do effective political campaigns. Now, that person, and I only tell this story to you because it has to be told factually, and again, there is absolutely no hard feelings or desire for vengeance or something from my side. But this person was Tapas Prabhu. Who I had just met a couple of times through the years before. He was traveling in Norway. I was always in Sweden. We had hardly spoken with each other. Now, I moved to England and Denmark and worked with the MAD project. And then the Hare Krishna thing happened. Around that time, I heard Tapas Prabhu had been kicked out of Norway. Apparently, after having gone too far. With his revolution. Marapuri told me just the other day, I heard from Manidhar, who was then temple president in Stockholm, that Manidhar drove to Oslo to pick up the pass and give him shelter in Stockholm, serving the Stockholm Yatra. The details of this had to be told by Manidhar Prabhu himself, but he's a friend of Marapuri, who then basically quoted him saying that Tapas was a complete psychotic wreck at that time. Especially used the word psychotic. Out of touch with the world. I remember then that when I was a Sankirtan leader back in 1984 in Denmark, working under Devamrita Swami, Tapas was a Sankirtan leader in Norway. And one day, Maharaj called me in and expressed concern about Tapas Prabhu and the Sankirtan in Norway, saying that he was sometimes acting in strange ways. He then appointed me as something new, the Sankirtan coordinator for ISKCON Nordmark, including Norway and Denmark. And made me understand that my job was to keep an eye on the pass. I visited there now and then, met with the Sankirtan there, and I especially remember one meeting we had, Divamriti Swami, Tapas Prabhu and myself, where I was surprised and a little bit alarmed by hearing Tapas speaking. He seemed to see himself as a big, big leader, Brahmana, with a duty to rule those down there. There was some thing a bit blown up there. But I didn't think more about that then. Well, after the exit of Hare Krishna back in 1999, I moved back to Sweden, wanting a home and to make family and live and take care of myself for a while. So I got an apartment in Brahmakund here in Stockholm, and landing in the aftermath of the explosion and seeing ISKCON Stockholm shaken, I thought maybe there's something I can help with here. At that time, Tapas Prabhu was in charge of ISKCON Stockholm. And I heard that he had saved ISKCON Stockholm. I then thought, great, here we have also Markandeya Rishi and some other older devotees. Me and Markandeya were part of the old Govinda's team. We can now work together, make a nice team, and keep things going. That's what we need now, teamwork, when our great leader is gone. So Markandeya, myself, and Mahima Mai, and some other, my wife, we volunteered to help set up and work with that team. However, it soon got clear that Tapas didn't want that. He pushed us away. He clearly wanted to rule Iskon Stockholm alone. He was the leader, he was the boss now. And we work for him. Now, I heard, and again, in retrospect, and this is why this story needs to be told, not to speak badly about anyone, but to just give the actual real situation. Manidhar Prabhu, according to Manidhar Puri, and you could ask him personally, tells his story for whatever it's worth, that after coming to Iskon Stockholm, to Stockholm Yatra, Tapas started a political campaign and made a revolution and got Manidhar kicked out. Now, whatever the truth is about that, because honestly, Manidhar made himself unpopular here in Sweden by frequently speaking badly about other devotees behind their backs, including leaders, including myself. But that is another story. In any case, we thought, thanks to Paz for saving Iskon Stockholm, where they were about to sell the house and so on. And now we, the rest of the Govindas gang here, are back and we are ready to help out and let's do something nice together. But things were different. We didn't feel welcome. It even got to the point where my wife especially couldn't stand it, and we decided to move away down to the south of Sweden. Frankly speaking, Tapas seemed to see us as a threat. We were his seniors. At least I had more experience with as a temple president than he had. Stockholm was my hometown. I grew up here. Niskan also, he came from the west coast of Norway. And I could see he didn't have much understanding of the Stockholm scene, nor much connection with it. So we did what we Swedes do. And some foreigner comes and takes the vacant power position. That's another piece of history of Iskon Sweden that we, the original Swedish devotees, are still discussing even more today, needs to be rectified. But the founders of Iskon Sweden following the directives of Prabhupada were eventually kicked out by foreigners. Who then took over everything they built up, and well, just let me get that stated. And if you ask me today, why Iskon Sweden has not kept flourishing, but is dwindling, which in some circles you're not even allowed to say. Because of course we know everything is getting better and better. But here, sorry, we have to be realistic. But this is, and it is my strong faith, most probably a cause of Vaishnava Parad. And I will get back to that. And again, this is why I find this important enough to take the time of this long text if it will ever be read, and sending it to the GBC representative, because it's about serious issues. Now, at that time, late 99, some of us had started to wonder if everything was right and good and healthy in ISKCON Stockholm. And in fact, in the mind of the leader of ISKCON Stockholm, I am myself a certified hypnotherapist and have been discussing this with Wegemann, who educates hypnotherapists and other devotees who are psychologically knowledgeable. And although it's not a pleasant topic, we had seen a couple of cases for instance that of Yashoda Dulal, a nice, very nice Sankirtan devotee who started behaving in ways that are clinically called psychotic. Getting lost in your own world. And we were talking about how there is a danger when things get too cultish. A group of people who live in their own world that sometimes can divert in unrealistic ways from the rest of the, from the outside world. Of course, often because they follow a charismatic leader who, in the case of cults, are often psychopathic, narcissistic, or whatever. And as we also have learned in many cases, lost in some dream world themselves. So we saw this in devotees, some who maybe had this. And we heard it from doctors later on, or those who had heard, that yes, this person had the tendency for schizophrenia, which is apparently inherited and so on. So we were especially discussing how this joining of ISKCON can be dangerous for such people, because they may be encouraged to build their own reality, since we have kind of cut, that's how we did it back then, right? Connections to the outside world, which was just the world of Maya and illusion, and the karmis don't know anything. So I'm sorry to say that we saw this in Tapas Prabhu. I can give you one example that I practically, I don't want to talk more about these unpleasant details, but for instance, when me and my wife then decided to move away from Brahmakund, Subal Prabhu and his wife, also old devotees, Subal also late 70s, needed an apartment, so I said you could have mine. Tapas and him wrote a contract for him. A standard Swedish first rental contract. Week or two before, we were moving out and they were moving in. We all had our contracts ready. We're packing our things. And Tapas rang on my door, telling me to cancel the contract with Subal. I was surprised, to say the least, saying, but it was you who wrote the contract with Subal, not me. Yes, but we need to cancel it because he's not a good person. I don't want him in the house. Knowing that Subal's father is a lawyer and that Swedish first-hand rental contracts are by law extremely binding, I answered, this is impossible. You will get lawyers on you. Whereby he just answered that the law of the GBC stands above the Swedish law. Now this, is where I really became convinced something is wrong. Someone is living in his own world. I was happy to move away, and so was my wife. But she couldn't stand it on the countryside, being a Beijing girl. So we decided to move back and then live in her apartment, which she has still kept in this Brahmakund. Again, we reacted after 4 years to how the mood was different, more serious. The subtle mood, I only can say for myself, but there were some rather serious problems with the building of Brahmakund, which you can read in the document about renovation. Some very serious. And I have to give you one example. They had it installed in the boiler room, a heater powered by wooden logs that we got from Alnvik Farm. Good idea, but it had to be used the right way. I read the instruction, being a somewhat technical guy, and realized that this two-chamber heater, sorry for getting technical, but it's important, was powered by a fan, which, if adjusted right, would produce a blue flame with very high efficiency, using most of the energy in the wood. But if not adjusted right, lots of tar and smoke could be produced, resulting in chimney fires. And smoke leaking out into the house. Now, that smoke, I read, from that specific heater, is known for containing carbon monoxide, as we know, a non-smelling gas which is extremely poisonous, and which has here in the past killed people at night when they use their heaters wrong. I made a course with the pass and the devotee who was supposed to run that heater, but none of them seemed interested in listening to me. it was used wrong for years. Resulting in lots of smoke coming out of the boiler room every day, filling up the basement where devotees were living. A visible cloud of smoke in the hallway, going up the stairs through the house, because the door to the basement was always open. Incidentally, held open by the fire extinguisher of the basement, which was empty. Sometimes flames flew out into the boiler room. And at one point there was a fire there, which they fortunately managed to extinguish before it spread out of the room. At that time, we had babies and several other devotees in the house as well. The smell of the smoke was in the stairway every day, every night especially. And since the house had cracked, look at my renovation list, there was and still is a 1 centimeter gap on top above our apartment door. So we felt the smoke in our apartment as well. Now, I was seriously alarmed. But any effort done to report such needs of, or such dangerous issues, as well as other issues in the house, was met with sometimes angry dismissals. And we, the tenants of the house, were dealt with and even spoken about. As troublemakers, demanding too much, and so on. I was seriously afraid having little babies in this apartment, and others were so too. And in spite of our complaints, nothing happened for a long time. I once demanded that the carbon monoxide sensor was installed in the stairway, which it eventually was. After a few days, it was gone. I asked why, and I was told that because it was beeping all the time and making noise. Please believe me, this is a true story. And there are several such stories, not as serious as this one, except there was a chimney fire. Neighbors stood around the house, little children crying. I have it on video. The fire brigade was here. And in general, the building started to become, I understood, infamous around the neighborhood, which is a fine, high-class neighborhood of influential, successful, some even famous people. We again suggested that a team is needed to manage the building. And my Russian former BBT devotee from New Radhakund, who had by then studied financial economy, business economy, myself, had a meeting with Tapas offering that we could work as a team. But it then had to be done on equal terms as a real team. And then he said, no. I'm in charge. This is my building. He used that expression as himself, as the owner of the building. Finally, this must have been in 2007 or something, several tenants gathered, had meetings, and discussed the situation, and compiled a report to the Scandinavian National, Swedish National Council, SNC, which should still be there in their archives, detailing the needs for renovation, and taking care of the, well, again, look at the list. It still hasn't been done. And also even presenting a proposal for ways to set this building up with a proper management, is well taken care of. One of them was that it should be owned by the tenants. It's called here is cooperativo, that is in English. We worked a long time on it together. Makander Rishi was engaged, Dvijamani, an academic from the US, and his wife and others. I was called to the SNC meeting. And there was a discussion about this, where we demanded, really begged the SNC to take this seriously and to send a team to go through our apartments, speak with the tenants and really look into the situation. All we got was a standard letter from the secretary saying that we have received your writings as a proposal and rest assured we are working on it and so on. After that, nothing happened. But to answer that first question, why did Topaz Prabhu maintain such an, which I didn't know because I hardly spoke to him after that. Strong, inimical attitude to me was probably because I was the one speaking there in that council. Although I did it representing the majority of the tenants in the house. Again, I'm not here to make accusations and we should, of course, not do that to those who have passed away. But I need to explain this story from my point of view. Well, part of us, of course, my defense, when I'm now accused of trying to take over ISKCON Stockholm and destroy it. It really hurt. And I guess the members of the successor board for ISKCON Stockholm that Topaz disappointed. Well, they then view me that way. In any case, Govinda's disappeared. We were told it's because the rental company, the landlord, needed it for something else. But after all these years, more than 10 years or something, check it out. The place is still standing empty. It's another story, but I saw it fall to pieces gradually, withering away. And in 2015, I called Pranava Prabhu, saying, we older devotees have to do something now. Otherwise, Govindas will go under. It's completely mismanaged. Those who run it don't know what they're doing. Of course, most of us older devotees, we are elsewhere, concerned with other things. So no one heard the warning, it seems, and a couple of years later, Govindas was gone. I'm convinced, because I know Sweden, I know Stockholm, the Govindas that have been there, very glorious, with like 300 guests a day, famous people, it was were a cool part of Stockholm, were then at that time a dirty, run-down place managed by some important person from the East who had no idea about how to run restaurants in Sweden, in Stockholm especially. So they found an excuse and they got rid of those crazy people. Now, since Govindas had been there so long, more than 30 years, and was even acknowledged by in the newspapers as part of the Stockholm culture, ISKCON could get some money as a compensation. I then asked to pass how much, and he refused to tell. No one really knows, still, as far as I know, maybe someone up there. Then they, as far as I understand, use those money. You have to you know, the facts maybe more than I, to buy, get another restaurant where they only had a 3-year contract, and after that they were thrown out from there as well. They got another place, small one, but then they were gone from there too. And I asked once the owner that succeeded them there, and he just told me that these people were just crazy. They had no idea about Swedish rules or laws or health rules or anything. So they got thrown out. So I'm just mentioning this because it has to be clear that there have been issues here throughout the years. And the fact that I sit here looking at it and thinking, is there anything I can do? And although I'm 70 years old now and have limited energy, I thought maybe I can contribute with something. Some of my knowledge and skills. But then, and do it as devotional service for the service of the Vaishnavas who live here. And then I'm rather refused and accused of trying to take over and destroy ISKCON in Stockholm. I dare to say it shows that, well, I may be this way, that way, but I'm not a demon. And if that image of me is now the one maintained and continued and upheld by the very owners and management board of the house where I live and the what is left of ISKCON in Stockholm, it's very uncomfortable, because all I want is to live in my home, continue with my cosmology studies, the Bhagavatam, and the making my YouTube channels, and preach peacefully. So, in a way, this is an appeal from just a humble devotee who doesn't know what to do. But it's more. I wouldn't have written this otherwise. As I can handle that, I move to some other place. But again, I'm seriously concerned about ISKCON Stockholm. The board that was elected by the previous temple president before passing away, myself and several others with me here, questioned their competence. There is the past widow, also now aged and looking very tired. and who I really think would be happiest by going into pension and engage in peaceful, nice devotional service. 60 plus something, another lady who is approaching her 80s, sickly, very limited energy and health. And also, well, to be really honest, a person who not only me have been through the years a bit worried about when it comes to getting a little lost in a bubble or whatever reality is constructed for us. A young Indian devotee was a student at the university and has been living in a little room here for his studies, 3-4 years or so. But told me personally, when I the only time I've been speaking about this to anyone outside my own apartment, mentioned the need of renovation and the plans of making a trust, objected, saying there's no need for renovation. I'm used to Indian standard, you see. I guess implying that we Swedes should also learn that. And when I then said, well, we should also have Indian standard rents, he answered that the rents are very low. Now, I looked up the statistics of Stockholm City and understood that the rents the devotees pay here are like 10% above the average rents in this area, which again is an expensive, higher class area. And for that, the devotees living here should be satisfied with, well, quote unquote, Indian standard. I would say it's below that. Now, when someone speaks like that, I get upset because I think it's offensive towards the Vaishnavas, who are now treated not as Vaishnavas that should be respected, what to speak of, being served and cared for, but who are just called the tenants and are considered some complaining disturbances, but who then should pay high rents which are then used for no one knows what. We have started now to dig into, me and Lord Chan, the financial situation here in Brahmakund, where they say that it's not even breaking even. others say that, of course, the rents have been used for running the ISKCON Stockholm general expenses, including Sunday feast, cars, travel, this and that. So, whatever version you get, the official one, this is the reality down on the ground. And we who live here, well, most devotees, Swedish devotees who used to live here originally, again, devotees who spent the best years of their lives for serving Prabhupada's movement and who joined here and built up this movement here, have moved away, frustrated, including the couple who ran Govinda's successfully and beautifully. They spoke to me frustrated and unhappy about how they were treated by the temple president here, who was in charge of the restaurant too, or acted that way, and they moved away and gave up, and that's when it started falling to pieces. So, as of course happens, and I say it's a, this is the way cults develop, the group, this echo bubble in the group bubble, that the only ones who remain are, well, as we can see it here, those who are loyal to the leader, whoever the leader may be, I guess. But also, this house is now filled with Russians, Indians, mainly people from the Eastern, former Soviet Union. And I would say, three, four Swedish devotees. Out of 12 apartments and 5 other rooms rented out. And of course, they have to be loyal to the leadership. So when you ask from that direction, from the outside, you probably won't see all this that I'm saying now. And that's why someone has to say it. And there is much more to this story, but I have to keep it short. Otherwise, I guess no one would even want to read this. And why I gave all this story about Tapas Prabhu, I mean, I, at the end, when he was leaving, I made up with him, I'm at peace with him. We all have our, you know, good and bad sides or problems, and we all try our best, but what I'm concerned about is that we need to see also when things are going well and when they are not going well. As if we refuse to see that, then we may just continue working on non-functional paradigms, so to speak, as if they were, you know, institutionalized and engraved in rock. Now, of course, one of the engravings here is that Priyaratadas is some kind of demon. But again, what does that have to do with the welfare of ISKCON Stockholm? Well, you see, Lord Chan, he suggested before that came, as I mentioned, a team to take care of the building. And yes, I have experience and I would say certain competence that could be useful for this, because nobody else in this building has any of that experience. I mean, we old timers, we went through things, we learned much from our mistakes, but from our experiences, and the way we see it, and we often talk, is that, you know, we're not going to get into daily management. The youngsters should learn that, but we can be there in the background and contribute. And we just hope that this old kind of ISKCON politics way of paranoia and the maneuvers and the conspiracies and the all of that is a thing of the past. And I know, I mean, I was out there internationally, much more internationally ISKCON than many others here. And I know things look very different in Britain, where I lived then, and in the US, where I spent a lot of time. I tried to move there. But here in little Sweden, in Stockholm, it's been, the voters have been so used to being ruled by some big American or German, or in this case, Norwegian. We want to take back our ISKCON in Sweden again and do it the way we Swedes would do it. And we could tell you about that way. It's much more a matter of teamwork, working together. We're good at that. We're fed up with these pyramids with some pope up there. Especially when that pope is not up to it. Because after all, at the end of the day, reality persists and illusions disappear, no matter how much the narrative may try to uphold them as reality. And here the risk is that of some destruction. Which is, of course, makes it ironic that the one who speaks this is accused of trying to destroy ISKCON Stockholm. But again, that doesn't matter as far as I'm concerned, except I feel uncomfortable living in an environment where I'm considered in such a negative way. I'm more sensitive to this in old days. So I just told Lord Chan that you don't want me, then no problem. I'm just a tenant. So there's no ambition behind this. I just want to see this building properly taken care of, and the rest of the ISKCON Stockholm operations or activities. I trust are taken care of nicely by those who are here. I mean, it's no problem on that spiritual preaching side, although of course things can always improve. But I think what is needed now is, the way I understand that ISKCON was set up to start with from Srila Prabhupada, as a friendship between devotees. And if the devotees are taken care of nicely, and leaders, especially for Vaishnava projects, should see themselves as servants of the devotees that they are responsible for. If they see the devotees as servants of them, that you can use to get money and work from, while treating them badly, that's like pouring water on the fire, trying to make up a fire. Serious stuff here. So therefore, I humbly submit this to you, aware of that it's probably terribly long, wondering if anyone would even read it. But I really think, and that's what, now again, personally here, Lord Chandra said, well, I think you and Tapas had a bad relationship. And when we sat in that SNC meeting, when we, the tenants, presented our proposal, and again, someone just said like that, oh, you know, you two, you have some kind of problem with each other. Maybe you should just deal that out. So one reason I said or spoke like this today here is that this is not what it's about. It's much bigger than that. It's not a personal conflict. I never fought Tapas anyway. I never criticized him publicly. I mean, we speak sometimes about these problems here, but it's not a personal thing. It's about the building. The only time I raise my voice is when things are not properly taken care of. And things were strange. I mean, if you know, want more examples, there was a problem with the code lock for the outdoor here, for all us. Sometimes it didn't work. And sometimes you go out and you throw away the garbage or something in the garbage can. And in the winter time, it can be 20 below or something, 10. And maybe you don't put on your, you don't do that normally, put on your heavy outdoor clothes in order to go and throw the garbage, and you can't get in again. It happened to me. And if no one is in the house, then what shall you do? It's a risk, it's a health danger. So I was, again, you had to be careful about that, to be a complainer. I was mentioning it time and time again to the landlord here, and who didn't do anything. And his faithful followers, of course, they say that, no, it's okay, everything. You just pushed it too fast or something, which I know it wasn't. There was something, it's an old lock, needs to be changed. So finally, I found a lock of that same model, second hand, drove all the way through the city and bought it with my own money, put it in a plastic bag, hung it on his door handle, post door handle, with a little note. Please, here, this is for you. Now, please replace this. I even offered to do that replacement myself. But then he refused. And I couldn't understand. When I offered to do it myself, it's just a little screwing off a box on the wall and putting up the other one. He said, well, if you do it yourself, then if you do it wrong, then I have to call a company to come and fix it, and then you have to pay that. You know, that's the kind of stories we have here, and these are just a couple of them. So please, we don't want it to continue like that now. That there's a tradition here having been established. I mean, is this the proper way in ISKCON? Even in general, but especially when you can see anyone who really cares to look. And I know it's difficult to speak with tenants and devotees here because mostly they just answer what they think is the right answer. It's therefore hard to see the reality here from a distance. So this is just a little, I would say, a call for help from us in here, living here, serving here. And I have now, of course, written this from my own personal story, but there are others who could do that same. And we can, and we will probably, if there is a need, gather more of us and write some more official document along these same lines. But this we'll have to do for now. Thank you so much for reading. I really appreciate. Hare Krishna, your servant, Priyavrata Das.